The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the chat. I'm Bentley here with Corey.
What's up?
And he is our special guest host today. Now, I just realized that you are in Shakespeare in the Park.
That is true. So that is true.
I'm really excited about that. We're going to be talking about that. But also, you know him as the host of Compact Civics, Compact History.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
There's no more compacts. Quite a few compact, you know, shows.
There will be more.
And just all around fun, loving guy.
Yes. And Charles. Now, why, Charles, I think the big thing right now we have to inform people. So last week there was a reason that Nyla wasn't here. She was getting close to having that baby, but she's not here today. Because why?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a new addition to the group chat.
Woo!
Monday, I think it was 5:06? Yeah, Monday at 5:06, Nyla had her baby boy.
Woo! Yay!
Her baby boy, Eris. 7 pounds, 15 ounces.
Jeez, let's go.
He came out after the Knicks win, right in time for Juneteenth.
Right.
That Future baby King. Was like, listen, game five.
Y'all better get it together.
I'm coming out. Yeah. I'm here. He got a Knicks onesie on the way. He going to have a lot of Knicks stuff. We know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But, yes, Nyla did have her baby.
That's
Our
amazing.
Love goes out to her and the family. They're doing great. Me and Bentley, we keep contact with her every day.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that she's doing okay. And because of that, I need all of y'all to like, comment, and subscribe to this channel here.
Yes.
And please, in the comments, congratulate Nyla on the newest addition to her family.
Let's go.
I am obsessed. Like, I'm like creepy baby lady, I think.
No, you're not. You're not because it's something about that baby.
Listen.
That everyone sees it and just instantly is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I want a baby.
Yeah.
He is perfect. I'm like, when do I get to eat his cheeks?
But no one within the group chat was correct on the bet. Someone did win, but they're not in the BTPM ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, we were all wrong.
Yeah.
Because you were hoping for Juneteenth, but I think he made it for the celebration. He's going to be able to, you know, the parade is tonight.
Yeah.
So, he'll, you know.
He's around for it all. Yeah, right.
He wanted
right.
to be a part of it.
He did. He so did.
He was did.
I didn't
patient.
Expect the Knicks to be where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that.
Come on.
They did. So, understandably so. Mom's a Knicks fan. Family's a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm.
Dad, uncle, all Knicks fans.
You know, they like, hey, baby's like, hey, like, I hear the celebration. I hear the excitement.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta show up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, make an appearance, man. Yeah.
You know, he's here. Like I said, Knicks onesies will be on the way.
And yes. I think Charles and I made sure we didn't get the same things because we were looking at the same things.
Yeah.
Very special episode today. Charles, do you want to explain our roles in the group chat today, the three of us today?
So this episode is a very seasoned culture.
There we go, yeah.
Black episode, okay? Now, we know Bentley is, you know, Bentley's white, but as I hate this message, but it's like Bentley's invited to the cookout. You know, she is. So me and Corey will kind of be, you know, A and B. Bentley will, she's going to chime in. Don't think that we are like, hey, Bentley, you cannot talk about any of what we're talking about because it's Juneteenth Eve. You cannot talk. No, no. You have, you are a part of my family.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
So you are, yes, you can.
Don't make me cry, Charles. We're talking about babies and family, and this is why you guys have to take them. But no, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the conversation. So it's like, I need to.
But I also appreciate the fact that you are one of those that advocates and you stand up for what all that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
a true, like, ally, you know?
You are an ally.
Listen, guys.
And you, you do, like, we have had our conversations,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
have campaigned and pushed and
yeah.
advocated for me to be here. Sometimes against my will, but
Charles is a star. He's a reluctant star,
right?
But
yeah, but you got to shine, bro. That's what it is. Yeah,
so
she just knows. Yeah,
yeah. I just light the fire sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know what to do to get you going. Sometimes I do it. That's all.
So yeah, so that's, you know, that's, I appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys. I'm really excited for this episode.
Listen, we got heavy hitters on this.
We do.
On this episode.
We've got Akua Menzedu, who is the president of Clementine Gold Group, and we'll get more into that, her role, and how that relates to the topic today, because she does a lot of stuff.
Yes, she does
a lot of stuff, especially as president of Clementine Gold Group. So we have Ian Robinson coming back.
He's back.
My buddy, co-founder, CEO of Ear Quality, which is an artist relations company. So this being a pop culture show, and we talk a lot about arts and entertainment,
right.
He's going to be able to weigh in on that. And Saladin Allah, educator and author, also very involved in Juneteenth celebrations and programming.
Really a historian. He's a modern day historian, honestly.
Yeah.
The guy knows everything, man.
That's why I'm, like, just excited to learn
from
people, you know? And then Jillian Hainsworth, who is an Emmy Award-winning poet, and I'm fired up.
This might be the blackest show you ever had. I don't know.
Hey, listen.
It might be.
It is. I'm going on record on saying this is.
Yeah.
You might have to back into the archives.
You know, I will repeat. I want to repeat what my old colleague Thomas O'Neill White said during a What's Next interview, but I can't because he used explicit
words. Can you take them out? Because how are you going to do that in that time?
I mean, I can.
Can you get around it?
He said that because we had himself, we had another reporter, another black reporter, and then we had the president, who is now a reporter here, E-Jazz. They was doing the State of Black Journalism. And at the time, me being the producer behind the board, the managing editor at the time was a black woman, and he was like, this is a very black broadcast.
Yeah.
Where's your intro music?
I
know we can't play it because we're on YouTube.
Listen,
maybe you'll get it in the radio version.
I would,
right?
But I can't,
right?
But just know I'm black, y'all.
Ooh.
I'm black, y'all. I'm black, and I'm black, y'all.
Hey.
See, this is why I'm just over here.
Yes,
see,
yes,
like,
yes.
This is already.
But that's the thing. Me and Corey, we.
Yeah.
We go
Everybody
back.
Know Charles is a big bro, so you know what it is, man.
Also, yeah. We're hoping Corey can join us for the summer. I know that you have teaching responsibilities too in the summer because you're year round, but you'll be hosting more.
I mean, that's the hope, man, because I love it here. So
if y'all
want me back, you know, maybe we can work something out.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Here we go. Yeah. This video get 1,000 likes. You know what I mean? Then we can be assured I'll be back.
That's the goal. That's the goal right there.
Right.
Y'all heard him say it. 1,000 likes.
We could do that. 1K. That's easy.
Now, Charles, before we get into the state of the scroll, which you know I'm excited to get into, can you, I don't know, I want you to read your little intro that you wrote.
Oh, the my intro. That Juneteenth is more than a day off. It's culture. It's community. Mm-hmm. And it's a conversation about what freedom looks like today. Let's talk about it. Shout out to Trick Williams.
Well, and then we start off every episode, as you know, with State of the Scroll. So, Charles, what's the number one thing we've been talking about?
Come on now. 53 years. It's been 53 years since this team won the championship. And fun fact, the last time they won it was the actual birth of hip hop. 73.
Wow.
Let's talk about it.
Jeez. Why are you going to blow my mind like that?
Let's talk about it. Hip hop was born in New York.
Yeah.
73. The Knicks won. This is the most hypest you'll ever hear me about the Knicks. I do not like the Knicks. I'm Lakers through and through.
You've been a good sport, though.
I've been a good sport. I've been a good sport. And congratulations goes out to the New York Knicks.
Absolutely.
Winning the championship in probably one of the most stressful finals I think I've ever seen for Knicks fans.
Yeah.
Stressful, like, everything. You
and Naila in my phone. Y'all were just so... Guys, if y'all, if I can let y'all read the text that was going on, it's pure comedy. It was pure comedy. And I wish that there was like a camera in your house when the Knicks won. Because
the way you
described how Bobby was just excited.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
I was like, in the group text, I was like, I think he broke my ribs. Like, he didn't. Shoot. He didn't really, but he picked. I've never been picked up like that before.
Yeah.
Like, on our wedding day, dance, nothing.
No.
Like, he was like from, like, me to that couch.
Yeah.
And he, like, leapt across the living room, grabbed me, threw me up in the air. He's got, like, bear hugged me and was, like, swinging me around. I'm like, I can't breathe. But, it was pretty great. But that was a ride.
Yeah.
That season.
It was.
It was
monumental. Because, listen, like, I'm not a huge Knicks fan either, right? Like, I've been a Curry fan since college. So, I've been with Curry. I've been with Golden State. I'm a Bulls fan. But the Knicks... All right, it's something about the Knicks, like going back to Melo. Yeah, I mean, it's something about the Knicks that's just like being from Buffalo, being from New York State, it just resonates, you know, because we don't have a team. Buffalo doesn't have a team. And so to see it and to hear that how long it's been, not only is it like, let's go New York, which, you know, some New Yorkers don't believe upstate, you know, belongs in that, but we can get to that later. We can talk about that later. But it also in another way, in a selfish way, makes me feel like, so it is possible. So when we talk about the Bills, it is possible.
The people I know that live in New York, they've all said that that energy is something that is...
When you see that energy and you see all these people standing literally on top of each other as one, people that don't know each other, getting along, the same emotions at the same time, and, you know... So far, so good, you know, like, you haven't even really seen any fights or anything, like, maybe some, like, little side things, but, like...
It could have got worse.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, like, I do listen to a lot of New York podcasts, and they were saying that, like, yeah, there was some violence that took place, but it's not like what we would have
expected.
Right.
Whenever you get masses of people together,
it's bound to happen. Yeah. Something's going to happen. Right. But overall, I do think it's like mainly positive. Please tell me y'all saw the one dude who was getting recorded. They was talking to him. He's like, Bronson, he said, he's my mechanic. he's my doctor. He's my dad. Jalen Brunson is my everything. My man was in tears, and everybody was just hyping him up. Like, the energy was all, like, over the roof, man.
Because, man, that's that's that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I really truly think that if that happens here, it'd probably be the same.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't imagine. Yeah. It won't be a safe table in Buffalo. No tables are safe. Yeah. It's over. No. Tables in Loganberry everywhere.
And then, you know, around the Knicks season, like anywhere, you just saw, obviously in New York, but then even here, you were seeing Knicks shirts and Knicks jerseys.
Yeah.
It's like when you drive to work the day after a Bills game and you see people at the bus stop in a Bills shirt. You see people working wherever, you know, everywhere you're seeing people in Bills gear. And it's like, you're just seeing so much Knicks gear right now. And it's just like a community where you're like.
You get it, man. So. Yeah.
We have more, but we gotta bring other people in because
we'll stay here and talk about this forever.
Right.
We can talk about this forever and a day. But we gotta invite some more people on, bring more people to our group chat cookout. So that's what we're gonna do when we come back.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is Public Media. Visit btpm.org.
Welcome back to the chat. Bentley, Corey, Charles, we're here and adding more friends to the chats.
Mm-hmm.
Please welcome Akua Menda Edu, president of Clementine Gold Group.
Hello.
And welcome back to Ian Robinson,
I'm
co-founder
happy to be back.
And CEO of Ear Quality.
I need to get me an office.
Don't say that too loud. Okay, they'll have one ready for you before you walk out of here. You could share. I would let you share my office.
We have a good time.
So we're talking about a lot of different things today. Mm. In honor of Juneteenth, but also the conversations that are happening year-round on the show and involving arts and culture, but and the celebration of Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Charles, you have talked to Akua on group or What's Next?
Yeah.
Before, and relating to some of the topics that we're going to be discussing of the role of Juneteenth in corporate America?
It's just the role of Black America, you know, because this is Juneteenth based, but I mean, when we think of Juneteenth, we're thinking of Black America. We think about us.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past years, we've noticed a shift in that state, you know, and I know, Akua, you've with Clementine Gold Group, mm-hmm. that's what you are focused on is workplace diversity training.
Yeah, a lot of different things, right? And so Clementine Gold Group, we're a community led economic development agency, but we specialize in strategy planning and engagement and organizational development. So we started in organizational development doing a lot of equity related work. But I think a big part of that is organizations trying to operationalize what that looked like, because it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually do it and what that looked like. So we would help organizations, you know, set up what that looked like within their own companies. And so I think there's been a lot of shifts that have happened more recently. Obviously, 2020 was a large year and a lot of conversations that happened then. So 2020 to 2026, it's been a lot of ebbs and flows, you know, a lot of ups and downs in terms of the conversations and even executive orders that have come out more recently that people have had to navigate around that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that could be, you know, talked about as it relates to it.
Well, so Charles and I were looking at summer movie releases.
Okay.
And didn't see a lot of representation. And this morning there was actually a story on NPR about the film industry and the ebbs and flows, which people have to realize is also a business and a corporation. So at one point, there may be, you know, when things are greenlit as we say in the entertainment industry. But then it might take a couple years for them to actually go in production. Mm-hmm. But that same sort of ebb and flow happens where there might be a marketing agency that maybe treats movies with people of color as an added thing and not part of their...
Like a black movie.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is an added part of our catalog, you know? Yeah. So I think in the entertainment world, there's a business model like that sometimes fails, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of shifts, I think, too, right? Yeah. Like, it was all the rage after 2020, right? Yes. Like, a lot of people had so much focus on it. That's where you saw all these roles, DEI roles coming out, and folks really looking into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that pendulum has swung back the other way in a really crazy way. But, you know, you see these different corrections that happen in different times and parts of history, too.
Oh, yeah. Corrections. Mm. And then I know the streaming world... we can analyze the good, the bad, and the ugly about streaming, but the streaming world doesn't lie because these movies are streaming. So then it's like, you know, your audience is there and reacting to what they want.
Right.
And then it's almost like a catch up after that. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Well, I mean, my question, if we're going to be focused on like corporate America, is the whole ideal of them embracing what is Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. And it's the, you know, like you said, Akua, during the height of 2020, the height of the Black Lives Matter, we've seen all these corporations stand by and be that, oh, we're with you. And now we're seeing it, they're pulling away from it. The biggest person, the biggest entity that seems to be catching a lot of backlash is Target. Because we know Target was very much behind us. And they then all of a sudden,
at a point,
they switched it up, and now we're seeing the dip in their business.
Right.
You know, because this is what happens when you, you know, you kind of latch on to us, but then once it's time to separate, you do. But now it shows how much we impact. The dollar. But not just the dollar, but it's just how much we have a pulse in the world.
The world, the culture.
Like, I've always said that nothing moves until we touch it and say, all right,
it's the currency behind it.
Good to go.
For sure.
You can see it off of TikTok. Like, the slangs, the words, the moves, like, it's all our impact.
And even within the music, I mean, we don't even want to get into the music scene because... The music business was, you know, everything.
It was predatory.
Yeah.
Yes, we want to get into the music. I want to hear it. It's Ian, the truth that's out there, you know?
Because I know the biggest thing back then, they said you want to hide something from a black person to put it in the book. And that's in the music industry, that's a contract. I think Prince was one of the biggest artists that really pushed back on trying to define what a master's recording is, going deeper dive into that. And it's super, super predatory. But I don't want to make excuses for it in the past, but when you don't have the knowledge to understand the music industry, because that was fairly new kind of understanding that. But I think today, I think you should definitely know a little bit more than what the past did, because you want the creative control. You want to have your control. They are making money off of you and your creativity, and what you bring into that business is what you created. So you want to make sure you grasping on that.
I definitely think there's a part, like, it's understanding what leverage is, understanding what your leverage is, and I think that's important. But in today's time, when you talk about TikTok and all this, I think now is the most autonomy an artist can have, because you can blow up without the industry right
100%,
now.
100%.
I don't. That doesn't mean longevity-wise, but when you talk about leverage, you can say, oh, well, I got 2 million followers on TikTok, or my song blew up and I'm independent right now.
Yes.
So you have more choice. And so in today's time, I think to your point, now is the time where when you talk about these contracts, you got to really think about what it is. Cause in the past it was, you don't get in unless we let you in.
Right. Yes.
And that's changed now. So use that to your advantage.
And read everything.
Yeah.
Right. I'm always surprised. I mean, like Drewski, for instance, started on Instagram blew up in that way. And so, like, to watch these different you know, like
creators.
What was it? Was it BET Awards that he hosted?
He's hosting.
He's hosting it, right? Yeah. So it's like
Kevin Hart last year.
Kevin Hart last year, right? Yeah. So like even to see that shift and change is wild.
Yeah.
When we know, like, okay, you had to be this type of celebrity before, right?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And now shifted. They're not even celebrities. You got iShowSpeed. You got Kai Cenat.
Right.
You got all these young brothers who are like, they're just being them on camera.
Right.
That's it. They're playing games, being them on camera, and it's blown up to where now they are like moguls almost, you know what I mean? And it's like insane, but this is where we are.
They had to shut down Atlanta yesterday because of Kai Cenat.
Oh,
at the State Farm Arena, they had to shut it down.
Yeah.
That's one kid. He's younger than all of us.
Yeah.
Like,
not to say he doesn't have talent, because clearly his mindset is there, but I'm saying, like, he doesn't have an amazing voice.
Yeah.
He's not, like, super smart in the ways of, you know, technology or something like that. He is just a kid who knew what he wanted to do, and he was making YouTube videos as a kid, started streaming.
Yeah.
And once you get in the world of Twitch and all that, it's a different beast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's not to take anything away from him, but it's saying, like, it wasn't like he was some generational talent of one specific thing and it blew up. It was, he knew, he learned how to maneuver, because these kids in this time are growing up within this culture that a lot of us have to still learn. You know what I mean? So
Very
that's
true.
The biggest difference.
Very true.
Yeah, how do you get your mixtape out to that many people? You know? you know, like, if you think
TikTok
about it.
Now.
You know?
Right. You don't gotta sell them hand by hand.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and I think, too, even the music companies that have just figured out a way to play with the numbers or get into the numbers.
Yeah.
It's a thing, but I think that there's people that you just can't deny that aren't getting that help.
Yeah.
And those people, you know, the people that they're trying to mess with numbers don't always stick around either.
No, they don't.
You know?
No. You're talking about the plants, the industry plants.
Yeah.
The industry
plants. Yeah. Some people be having good songs, but sometimes they are horrible people. You have a good song, but if you don't resonate with nobody, or you're just a horrible person, I think today we have so much access to artists and talent that if I don't see, like, you moving as a good person, I'm not going to support that. And I just move on. There's so many artists out there. I just move on.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it probably makes more of a headache for you, too, is trying to promote somebody that's not cooperative or a good person.
This time we're getting ready to promote a show, and I'm sharing all this email. The next thing you know, they get on IG Live and start ranting. I'm like, oh, no.
Stop, please, don't do this.
No, you share your opinion and close doors, but no, you don't need to share with everybody. I understand that's a thing now where you want to share your truth, and I'm a big advocate on that, but it's a certain time and place for it.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure as you grow as an artist, you can't say what you want to say, because you can ruin a lot of agreements, a lot of deals, and a lot of endorsements.
Yeah. I mean, it's all pretty similar. You probably face this in the business world, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just folks wanting to put their opinions out there in a way. And I don't know, is that generational? Is it, you know, I think when you look at the different generations and their approach to work, even those types of things come up as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you see it all the time.
We want more flexibility now.
For sure, for sure.
You want me to work 9 to 5?
Right?
Yeah.
A hybrid schedule. Yeah,
I get 30 minutes for lunch?
Yeah.
Right.
It takes me 30 minutes to get the lunch.
We can obviously see all the holes in media and social media and entertainment surrounding Black culture.
Mm-hmm.
Are there positive celebratory things that you're seeing, or celebratory situations on these platforms that are helping? I know we're kind of in a backswing right now, but what are the types of things in social media and entertainment that you feel are elevating voices, or the best way to do that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I mean, I like, just in terms of awareness, and I think when you look at Instagram, TikTok, like, you see a lot of the short videos that people are talking about things like history, what happened in history. How did Juneteenth, I know we started talking about Juneteenth, but how did that even come about? And you would see all these different comments like, this is my first time hearing about this, or I didn't know about this. And so I think from that standpoint, in terms of getting more awareness out to the masses, social media is definitely a conduit to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a primary coming up shortly, right? Like, is that next week? You know, there's conversations about how do you get people interested in voting these days, right? Like, how do we increase the awareness around it?
I mean, Compact Civics.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But, like, you know, I think that's what it is. You have to go where people are.
Yeah.
And so if that's social media, then you got to lean into it utilize that for the best, you know,
social
best
media
ability.
Helped me figure out my identity a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Wanted to know my identity a little bit more. Mm-hmm. In college, I wanted to know, yeah, I'm from Niagara Falls, but I'm black, but I want to know a little bit more. So mm-hmm. being on social media and being around the friends I have, I'm like, let me do a little deep dive. Find out I'm Nigerian. Mm-hmm. So I really lean on that a little bit more and learn it more about that, because I just feel like what I learned was very surface level, and I had to really unlearn a lot to learn what really happened.
Yeah.
I definitely think that social media is a tool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so the tool is used how you use it. You have a hammer, you can hit a nail, or you can hit a person in the head, and it's two different things, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of to your point, when you talk about using it to teach and mm-hmm. stuff. You could do it on Instagram. You could do it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. There are pages dedicated to this.
Right.
And there's also pages dedicated to, like, black joy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can look at the news and you can look at these things where it's sensationalized, or you can find these pages where it's like, look at how much good is happening in these communities and in this world. And with, you know, everybody knows the algorithm now. Yeah. You can scroll. If you watch a video for more than 5 seconds, you got 10 of those videos and 10 of those types of videos on your page now.
Yeah.
And so you got to battle the algorithm with, we're still under the assumption that this is just what's there, mm-hmm. but it's feeding you what it mm-hmm. thinks you want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so when you lean into the bad or you lean into the negativity, you get more of it, and that's all you think. Mm-hmm. But when you lean into the positive and look in that way, you get more of that.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you see, oh, it's everywhere. This is happening, you know? And I think that that's important to also think about.
Yeah. I mean, we were alluding to that. I was kind of alluding to that with the Knicks celebrations mm-hmm. is, you know what, if you want to see all of the bad stuff and that's what you start clicking on, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a couple of those side little scuffles mm-hmm. that could have had nothing to do with the Knicks game.
Right.
It could have been like
100%.
It could have been like two guys fighting over somebody or, mm-hmm. you know, somebody like.
But that rage bait.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think there's a shadow side of everything, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even though we talk about social media from a sense of, oh, you could put things out there and make people more aware, there's also AI now. There's mm-hmm. also, you know, the opposite end of that, right? Deep fakes and videos where you're like, they're getting so much better now
that you can't
tell what's real mm-hmm. and what's fake, right?
Yeah.
So I think in all instances, there's a good part of it, but there's also the shadow side of it in terms of what that could look like. And you know, how do you decipher between those things?
I like the shadow side.
That's
true.
I'm going to quote you later.
And just to say, like, outside of social media, because it's in other places, too, when you're talking about, you know, the effects. I can't remember what it was, but there was a commercial I was watching, and it was black people in it, which, you know, always catches your eye. Mm-hmm. And something about it, I was like, a black person wrote this script.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is, but I can tell. Maybe they was roasting each other. It was a commercial, and they was roasting each other outside in the parking lot, like outside of a game or something like that. But in those ways, when you talk about like what, you know, what positive things can come from it or whatever it is representation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get black writers and you get people of color that are in these positions to do more, it opens it up to a different audience and you feel more included. It's not check the list of, all right, there's an interracial couple, so we're good. There's two women, so we're good. It's not that. It's like really wanting to make a change.
Yeah.
And you realize what it I mean, Ryan Coogler is the perfect example on, and I mean, Robert Townsend, there's so many more from decades ago. But, like, that is in today's time, you can see, if you bet on him, if you bet on Jordan Peele, they are killing it. And they're just telling their stories. Mm-hmm. And it's like just giving a voice to those people. So it's social media, it's commercials, it's mm-hmm. movies, it's television, obviously, it's music. Mm-hmm. It's just giving that voice and being like, let's just bet on this for a second and see what comes from it.
Yeah.
It's ownership too, though, right? Like, I think that side of it, because I think we've always had to wait for people to invite us into spaces mm-hmm. and create. And now you have the Ryan Cooglers who are showing you, hey, this is what billions of dollars can look like if you invest in me. But the reality is we do need to focus on ownership. How do we own more of that? How do we own more of our story and be able to tell more of our story? And you're finding that people are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Issa Rae started on YouTube.
Yep.
You know
Come
what I mean?
Now.
So, like, there's ways that that has, you know, happened and, mm-hmm. and where we are.
Even
now,
to this day, there's two movies out in the theater that started off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one started off with $700,000 and made over $100 million. Just it starts somewhere and somebody just got to believe in you.
Obsession. So yeah.
You know.
Which one?
Issa Rae. She crowdfunded, you know, her series, The Diary of
Awkward Black Girl.
How she got to, you know, where she's at. So you can democratize it. You know, have people invest in you mm-hmm. because they believe in you. So
yeah. You're trying to invest?
You know, you mentioning a scriptwriter. Also, the people behind the scenes, like being involved in the story creating.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, all at all levels of production and putting these things out there.
I know back in the 90s, makeup was a big thing.
Right.
Right. People to do hair and makeup.
Right.
Yeah. For sure. Well, we're going to talk more about the culture of freedom involving Juneteenth and actual some events in the community happening after the big parade. Yes, there are still events going on. Yes. So coming up, well, we're going to say thank you to two members that are going to be leaving the group chat, but they're not leaving. They're going to come. They're going to be part of it again. We got two offices ready for you as you leave. Even if you're only here once a month, it's okay. But thank you so much, Akua and Ian, for being here and being part of this conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
We could talk for like to you for 2 hours.
Obviously, it could have kept going for
a while. Especially Corey and me. Don't get started. Charles is being quiet. You better stop that next block. All right, coming up, we will talk. We're going to have two new people enter the chat, Saladin Allah and Jillian Hainsworth.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to the chat. I'm Bentley, here with Charles and two new guests in the chat. Last discussion was great. We didn't want them to leave, but we don't have enough chairs. So, but we are joined by Jillian Hainsworth, Emmy Award-winning poet, also former poet laureate. That's a hard one to say together. And Saladin Allah, educator and author. And in this part, we're going to talk about what Juneteenth means mm-hmm. and also what it means throughout the year. So Corey's back.
Corey, we're
live.
We're live.
My bad, y'all.
Corey got really excited about the guests.
That's exactly what it was. My bad, y'all. That was me just being me. You know what I mean? Y'all gonna get to learn a lot more of, you know, my mannerisms and whatnot.
And when we said that we had desks for you, Corey was just making sure.
That's exactly what it was.
It's okay. You didn't miss anything. I just introduced everybody.
What's up, y'all? What's going on? What's up, family?
What up?
I love that when Saladin walked in, he knew you.
Well, listen. So me and Saladin, we worked together. It was a really early episode of Compact History. And this is when I told you he's like a modern day historian. This is when I found all that out. And so, you could talk more about it, but there's a whole museum he has in Niagara Falls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It is the dopest story about like real life secret agents and spies, like that was happening when, in the times of enslavement. it's crazy, but he put me onto a lot of stuff and more than that. So I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, he do me knowing stuff.
That,
he
you
do
know
me
what
knowing.
I mean, for real.
He knows stuff.
A little bit.
A little bit. Listen to this guy, man.
So what is your role at the museum, and can you explain a little bit about
that? I'm director of community engagement. So I'm one of probably a couple of 100 people that I helped open the museum in 2018.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The Underground Railroad Museum in Niagara Falls.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So where do you even start to tell these stories? Because it's so layered. As you were mentioning things that probably no one even knew about in one part of the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Just in regards to the Underground Railroad, more specifically, are you speaking about?
Yeah, sure. We can start there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I know you're an overall historian too. And I think that, as far as Juneteenth goes,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people that just acknowledge it as a date.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know? Yeah. Or they say that it's just made up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
but it's
true.
Like,
true.
What holiday or what celebration mm-hmm. is not made up?
Right. Yeah.
All of them are.
Right, they're established. Right. You're saying this mm-hmm. date or that date is an established holiday. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The difference is some holidays kind of ritually root people in a certain type of cultural identity,
mm-hmm.
right? My identity is not Irish, even though some of my family members or others in my community have adopted it and then repurposed it. So some celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But that's not ritually rooted in my cultural identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about something like Juneteenth, you think about Kwanzaa. There's not many ways that we celebrate as people of African descent to ritually root us in our cultural identity. Mm-hmm. And we think about Juneteenth representing freedom. It's not the kind of freedom that we learn about in America that is rugged individualism. Yeah. And all about capitalism, and I got mine, you need to get yours. Our idea of freedom is collective. What I have is literally because of those that came before me and those who are here right now, and that is something that I also have to share with others. Mm-hmm. So freedom to us is not something you put in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freedom is only what it is because of your ability to share it with others.
So when you talk about the bloodshed and the sacrifice, mm-hmm. does it become difficult to have celebrations on Juneteenth and parades, even though it is celebrating a good thing, but also there's a history behind why it was necessary?
Mm-hmm. One thing Corey mentioned in the other segment, he talked about basically centering joy,
mm-hmm.
right? And how people utilize social media. All people have experiences of trauma mm-hmm. and things that they've gone through and things that they don't want to talk about. But there's other things that people love to talk about. And experiencing that joy is also important because the fact that we're here right now is evidence that we are resilient mm-hmm. and that we've made it through various different life experiences that could have broken other people. So it's never, you know, a question of is there an ability to find something to celebrate. We will always find something to celebrate because we are here.
That's a fact. Yeah.
You
that's
know?
A fact.
And I think that's cultural. Like, mm. even if you think about losing a family member, you know, there's a homegoing celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not mourning the loss, we're celebrating the life.
Exactly.
So I think it's the same thing when we think about freedom. Like, we can't just mourn what, you know, the things we lost as a community. You know, we have to celebrate the gains because that's how we sustain the fights.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's cultural too to find joy even in the most, you know, hurtful or traumatic places.
I think history's proven that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, history's proven that that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then you even think about Juneteenth, right? Juneteenth, you have the Emancipation Proclamation that's signed in 1863. Juneteenth is June 19th, 1865. That's mm-hmm. 2.5 years later that folks in Texas get the news that slavery no longer exists, at least on paper,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And people oftentimes ask the question, like, well, why did Major General Gordon Granger go to Galveston, Texas? Galveston, Texas was a premier port in terms of commerce. It was also a military outpost, and even described as the Wall Street of the Southwest. So the Union Army didn't have soldiers out there out west, and they had to go all the way out there to notify these folks that still had 250,000 people of African descent enslaved. So many of us may not have direct ancestors that grew up and lived in Galveston, Texas, but we still celebrate our ancestors and our folks that were there because, again, that concept of freedom is something that's a collective idea. And that's why it's important. All of us are not free until all of us are free.
Mm-hmm. Okay, poet. That's poetry. That's
bar, I was just right? gonna say.
Yeah. Like, all right. Yeah. That is got you.
You got two poets on the couch. What you expect? You. You know.
So, Jillian, for you as an artist and a creative, what does this day mean to you? And you know, do you find that more people are reaching out to you around this time? Because I know, as we were talking about corporate America. But do you find ways to make sure that this is celebrated year round?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the idea of culture, right? Yeah. I think I'm lucky to be from Buffalo because this has always been a part of our culture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I have friends from all over the country, some of who have never celebrated Juneteenth or didn't know really what it was until, you know, it became, recognized holiday, and I say that, you know, loosely. Some didn't know what Kwanzaa was or they heard of it, but a part of our culture here is celebrating who we are, celebrating our history. So when I think of Juneteenth, I really think of it as a holiday for us to reclaim our narrative and not just the, you know, actually like what happened in Galveston, Texas, but our continued fight for liberation, our collective definition of liberation, our ability to envision a future that actually is liberated. What does that look like for us? What does that feel like? So I, as an artist, I try to infuse that in everything that I do. You know, we're either learning, we're imagining, we're envisioning, or we're calling something out. And that is a part of the spirit of Black people, Black Americans, that's a part of the spirit of Juneteenth, putting a name on it. Like, you are free now. And yeah, we're going to start to face a lot of different hurdles that come with the fact that for a lot of people, their freedom is based on our oppression. You know, they define their freedom by people who aren't free, as opposed to, you know, the opportunities that are afforded to them. So for a lot of those people, they're going to try to put a narrative on us. They're going to try to say, well, I guess we'll let you celebrate your holiday. I guess we'll let it be a federal holiday. Sure, you can have a day off of work and still get paid, but that's not what it's about. Like, it's so much deeper than that. In those qualities, the part of our narrative, the part of our story that only we can tell, I think it's on artists, writers, people who engage with the community, leaders, politicians, to not only honor those stories, but to commit to telling those stories through our work.
Yeah.
It's something that you said that was sharp. And I'm not sure if some people caught what you're saying in regards to the importance of centering ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, we let you
right
have freedom on this day. Right. It's not about you. This is about us. It's about our stories. It is about the experiences that we've gone through, and we are celebrating us. And some folks just have a problem with being able to be the extra in somebody else's movie.
Yeah, they hate it.
You know? They got to be the producers, the executive producers, the lead actors.
They need to be ahead of security, officer, the police, like please.
And it's cool because it's like, it's all right. This is still going to be good. It's still going to be nice. You can celebrate with us, but it's not about nobody else. It's just about us.
Right. And it's nice for us. Like, we're not making, even when I look at like the parade, right? And there are so many people who are like, oh, I don't want to go to that parade because I don't want to go to that neighborhood. Okay.
Please.
This wasn't about you anyway.
No.
Right.
I promise you, the show will go on.
Yeah, you don't need to be there.
The governor was in that neighborhood and her public officials.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like, don't come then. Like, yeah. What do y'all think you hurting us? Like, it don't hurt. It don't hurt. I'm not, my feelings are not hurt.
It's checking a box and obligatory, you know, participation. Yeah. This is, it's a celebration. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen with or without your applause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think that one of the hopes with it being recognized in the way it is that it's something that people will look into now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Outside of the people that it directly affects. So if it's like, oh, okay, well, cool, this is it. You know, what is it? You want to learn more about it, or you know, and it might not happen on a large scale. It might not be everybody. Some people are just like, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you would hope that it's being recognized for a reason. And so that recognition is like, let's talk about it then. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now that it's being identified, let's talk about it so it can expand outside of, again, because there it's not just a specific race that doesn't know about it. It's not just white people who don't know. There are people of color. There are black people who don't know, who don't know Juneteenth at all or know how Buffalo does Juneteenth, because Juneteenth in Buffalo is a big deal. It's a big deal, like nationally. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so
we have one of the biggest festivals, parades.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Nobody's seeing us. Nobody's seeing us.
That's what I mean, though. So it's like, for the people who have heard of it, or I think my uncle goes to that. Like, hopefully, is getting the wheels turning as to what is this thing that's not just they want to celebrate it. No, this is real. This should be recognized federally. You know what I mean? So that's one of the hopes you get to. Yeah.
And even as an artist, there are times where people do want to book me for Juneteenth festivals or events outside of Buffalo, and I'm like, if it's the same weekend, I cannot do it.
Even if
this year, I actually posted it on Facebook a few days ago. I'm like, man, this one of the first Juneteenths that I'm not performing. Like, I intentionally chose not to perform, and then I was regretting it. And I didn't perform. But even as an artist, it's so important to just be in that space.
Yeah.
And not even just as an artist, as somebody who's a part of this community, like Juneteenth feels like a family reunion.
Yeah.
Like, it's some of everything going on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm not a part of the actual parade or I'm not performing in the festival, I still think it's just such a necessary space to be in. Yeah. Like, I need that. Mm-hmm. I need to feel that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then also you think about, you know, social capital is a common phrase that some people use, but there's also cultural capital. Mm. And there's a capital component to celebrating this culture as well. There are thousands of people that are not only people that are here in the Western New York area and Southern Ontario that celebrate Juneteenth in Buffalo, but people come from far and wide to celebrate that. That generates revenue. Mm-hmm. There is no way to not recognize that. Mm-hmm. And the more that it grows and expands, that is economic development, not only within our communities, but also the city of Buffalo itself.
That is a great, I mean, I don't want to end this conversation, but Charles is the boss of this show. But, you know, even, you know, Jillian, when you were talking early on about people outside of Buffalo recognizing, you know, and I think that's a really important thing to say, is that the culture that has been created and that this in Buffalo is nationally recognized is such a positive thing.
Yeah.
I know, Charles. All right. Listen, but here's the thing. Listen, though. We continue group chats. Group chats don't go away.
No, they don't.
These two are not going away. Our first two guests are not going away.
Right.
We're already thinking about next episodes, even though we're going to be on a little bit of a break.
Yes.
We're taking a break for the summer.
I mean, everybody needs a break.
Listen, we do.
Take a break.
Take a break from the group chat.
Yeah. Corey's just getting warmed up. He's got to go do a play.
That is true. You're right.
Shakespeare in the Park.
When is that?
We open tonight, weather, you know, being good, but it'll be from now till July 12th.
Definitely.
Check. No, we're doing Pericles.
They're giving me the wrap-up music right now.
I've never gotten the Oscar music.
Right.
Somebody will come with a broom to start sweeping you.
We got to force us out of here. So thank you for joining us on group chat. We will see you back in August, and you will see everybody in this room again.
Let's go.
All right.